What's up, everyone? I'm so excited to be here with you guys here in Santa Cruz tonight. Like Alfred mentioned, Ellie and I have been married for a few years. I've been on staff with Challenge up at Chico for a few years and love it. It's so fun getting to work with college students. I'm still in my master's program, actually, so I'm still a college student. But I really love it. It keeps me young. I love getting to do, like, you guys have, like, the Friday game nights. We do things like that all the time, too. And so my older brother, he works 9 to 5 right now, like, at a bank. And so he's really excited about sharing. Like, he gets up, goes to the gym at 7 a.m., and then he has a schedule. And then at 5, he's home. He eats. And then he's, like, in bed early and just gets to do that constantly. And I think, wow, my life is so different from yours. Like, I'm playing, like, Catan or Risk or something until, like, 2 a.m. sometimes, or playing Smash Bros. Like, different world, and I love it. Man, yeah, I'm just so excited to be here with you guys. Like I mentioned, tonight we're going to be going over Jesus as the Good Shepherd. I'm stoked about this. There's actually a reel. I was going to play it up here, but I know we at Pachico, we don't really study a lot. So I know Santa Cruz is a little bit different. You guys have midterms going on. Maybe you guys don't use social media as much as we do. But I saw this post. It was basically a sheep. It was like stuck in a ditch, like this really deep, maybe like that big. And there's like a sheep stuck in it. And so this guy, like, I'm guessing it was a shepherd or some guy working, he pulls it out and it's so excited. The sheep like jumps over here, jumps one more time, and then jumps straight back in and just gets stuck. And so I was just going to play that to you guys tonight and say, like, yeah, Jesus is this guy. You're all, like, all of us are the sheep. That's it. Just don't be the sheep. But no, we're going to get into it. We're going to look at some scripture in John 10 tonight. And it mentions, like, in that, we'll dive into it a little bit soon, but there's a verse in John 10, and it says very clearly, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And I love that statement of he is the good shepherd. Like, I was thinking about this, and there were plenty, especially during that time, but there were plenty of great shepherds, right? It was a very common profession, like 2,000 years ago. There's still shepherds today, but there's so many, I'm sure, shepherds that really gave it their all. They really cared about their profession, what they did for work. This made me think of, like, just, I don't know if you guys heard the phrase, like, he is him, like that idea that you are just like the goat of what you do. Like, I was looking at, again, like, social media, scrolling through, I saw Jalen Hurts. He's a quarterback and he squatted over 600 pounds in college. And I'm close to that, maybe about like 500 off, but man, it's crazy. But if you think about it, like, in the NFL, every quarterback is insanely strong, insanely great at what they do. But just strength alone, not talking about anything else, but strength alone, like, he's just in a different league, squatting that much, like, with that strength, it's just incredible. And so there are people like that that are just built different, right? And so this is so clear, like, when Jesus says he is the good shepherd, he is not just another good shepherd. He's just not someone that takes care of the sheep in a pretty good way that you could compare it to other shepherds. No, he is the good shepherd. And so we're going to dive into what that looks like and how that affects all of our lives here tonight. And so maybe you've grown up in church, maybe you've heard that phrase before, that Jesus is a good shepherd. And I know I hear that and it just rolls over. Like, I've heard that for years and it's kind of like, okay, good. Yeah, Jesus cares, or he takes care of us. Okay, let's keep reading. And I don't give it the thought that I think it deserves. I don't even think about much of what shepherds do, right? Like, I know they take care of sheep. I don't really know what else they do. And so hopefully tonight, like, I can share with you guys some points that I've been learning about through scripture, just through looking up what all of this analogy means that he presents to us. And I think one of the reasons why he picks this analogy to use, that Jesus says he is the shepherd and we are the sheep. Like, if you know anything about sheep, they need a lot of care. Like, they're not the smartest or the brightest. They're not very defensive either, right? If wolves come, sheep don't, I don't know, have, not that I know of, like, some attack move, or they run really fast. No, they just kind of stand there, right? Sheep just need a ton of care. They need protection 24/7. And another note on shepherds, they are incredibly protective. They value not just some sheep, but all of their sheep. It's not a 9-to-5 job where they shepherd their sheep for a little bit and then they clock out and go somewhere else. No, they sacrifice for their sheep. They take care of them. They work hard. They walk across and walk in front of sheep. So if they're going through some sort of pass where there could be danger, that they will be the first ones to deal with it and not their sheep. I love this verse. It's not on your handout, but it's 1 Samuel 17 in the Old Testament. This is David speaking when he's preparing to fight Goliath, if you've heard that story. And he says this in 1 Samuel 17. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear," like, what, a lion or a bear? "When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. Again, what? He went after a lion and a bear, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Again, what? Like, think about that happening. That's just incredible. And that's like one sheep. Like, you think, like, if maybe you've heard the scripture, or the, you know, the Christian saying, well, he leaves the 99 and goes for the one. I'm thinking, like, if I'm working and I'm making like $10 an hour and maybe I have like 10 sheep, like, even 10 sheep, I'll take $9. Sure, that's fine. Like, get rid of one sheep. Like, especially when it's my life on the line, I'll go shepherd out like the next flock if I lose this job. But David is very clear. Like, that is incredible. The length that he would go to protect a sheep. So you compare David and other great shepherds of that time. Like, it really means something when Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. Right, John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So tonight, we're going to dive into the concept of Jesus as the good shepherd. And we're going to look at two key passages. First, it's John 10:1-4. And then a little bit lower, it's John 10:14-15. We're going to look at these two key passages tonight and dive into this saying. So let's go ahead and read the first passage together. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So in this context, in John 10, Jesus is talking to both the Pharisees, which are the religious leaders, and other Jewish people here. He starts off by claiming that those who try to shepherd or lead the sheep through illegitimate ways are thieves and robbers. Right, these Pharisees were other leaders that try to get into the sheep pen, to get into the community of believers for their own pride and their own self-righteousness should not be followed, that the sheep should know the true shepherd. But there is a right way this passage talks about, and that's through the gate. And the deserving shepherd, which later on Jesus clarifies is himself, is allowed to shepherd these sheep. And he grows a bond with these sheep, so much so that they know his voice. That's incredible. And so that's the first observation on your handout tonight if you want to follow along. And that's that Jesus knows his sheep personally. Jesus knows his sheep personally. Psalm 139:1 says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. Jesus knows you. What's incredible about that is that he knows how much you have messed up. He knows the sin that's in your life, what you struggle with, every negative thought you've ever had. And he still loves you and chose to die for you. In the last verse of this passage, we see that the shepherds go out in front of the sheep. Like I mentioned earlier at the start, right? Shepherds protect their sheep by going first. They lead the way, since not only could the sheep be susceptible to harm, but they also would have no idea where to go. Sometimes the sheep would have to be moved from pasture to pasture, and there would be a huge pass in between where there's nothing, right? And so if you're a sheep and you're looking for grass or something, and you see a pass where it's just desert, I don't know about you, but if I'm a sheep, I'm saying, nope, no grass, I'm not going that way, right? But shepherds know better. They know what we don't know, and so they lead us. And that's the second observation, right? That Jesus leads his sheep. If you are a follower of Christ, then you need to know that Jesus has a plan for you, and he's alongside of you every step of the way. He has not left you. He will not leave you or tell you to go somewhere that he hasn't already gone himself. Isaiah 41:10 on your handout says this. This is the Lord speaking. He says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And that is just awesome, right? With Jesus as our shepherd, we have no reason to fear. And this doesn't mean that hard things won't happen to us. But when trials come into our life, man, we can rest in this verse. We can rest in knowing that we have a loving God who will give us strength, who cares for us, and who is not caught off guard by the trial that you are going through, by that stressful midterm that you were preparing for that you didn't realize was coming up so fast. Like, Jesus is not taken surprise by that, even if we are. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." This is a side comment, but my mom, Christian mom, like she would always have these little verses on a handout or like on a little, like you'd spin it over the next day and you get a new verse, right? It was just one of those things in our kitchen. And I felt like this verse was like always on it. It's just like a classic mom thing. And it's like, okay, whatever. Yeah, I see that verse a lot. But man, like actually studying it for myself, it's just incredible. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. All right, this is very clear that Jesus has not left us to figure it out on our own. That we don't pray a prayer to receive Christ as Lord in our life and then just try to do good. Or try to look at maybe another Christian. That's the only way we can figure out how to be a Christian. No, he has given us an instruction book for life. He has given us the Bible, right? It is a light for our path. And so if you want to be led by Jesus, if you want to be led by the Good Shepherd, then reading and getting to know his word is such a great place to start. So we're going to dive back into his word and look at the next passage in John 10. This is verses 14 and 15. It says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Man, that's awesome. Jesus is the good shepherd. It's not something that he can do. It's not something that he offers to us, but it's who he is. That's incredible. Right, there's other stories and parables in the Bible that we can interpret and try to understand who God is or what God looks like. But in the book of John, there are seven very clear statements that Jesus makes about himself. And this is one of them. We don't have to guess about a parable that someone refers Jesus as something else. And we have to see, okay, it has this quality. And so we can interpret that he has this quality. No, here he says, "I am the good shepherd." And so we get to focus on that statement tonight. When he says that he is the good shepherd, like this is what he means, that in every good quality of the shepherd, Jesus is the standard, right? He is the protector, the provider, the defender. He cares for us greatly. Matthew 6, 26, Jesus says this, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Right, this passage talks about birds, but I think it relates to sheep as well. Right, and if shepherds care about sheep this much, if God cares this much about animals, I hope you can see how much the good shepherd cares about you. Psalm 86:15 on your handout says, "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." In Psalm 63:3, he says, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you." Is that true in your life? Right? Do you see God's love as better than life? There have been interpretations on this scripture, and people will say that when it says better than life, that it means any single life you could live, whatever the world has to offer, whatever high-paying job, whatever great family, great location, any spot you could be in life. That his love is better than all of that, right? And Jesus loves you too much to leave you just the way you are right now. He wants what is best for you. And so he's going to lead you as the good shepherd would lead sheep. Right? A shepherd wants what's best for his sheep, right? Again, it's not just a job about money. Like shepherds sacrifice for their sheep. They care so much about the flock. They want what's best for the sheep. And Jesus wants what's best for us. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. He says this, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" God has good gifts in store for us. Like that is so incredible. So much more than if you think about like a parent wanting to bless their child. Like that's such a wholesome, like good, pure thought. And Jesus, the gifts that he wants to give his followers is so much more than that. But one danger we can think about here is that it can be tempting to hear all of this and think, okay, well, if that's true, then if God really loves me, then life is going to be good, right? Life is going to be easy and just good the way I want it to be good. But the red flag is that we don't actually know what's good. We really don't. Right, we think about earthly desires that we have and we put that as the category of good in our lives in the moment. So when trouble comes and it messes up with our plan of what's good in our lives, then all of a sudden we take that statement of, if God loves me, then life won't be good. And we think, well, life's not good, therefore God doesn't love me. But the Bible is clear that, right, we don't actually know what's good, that the heart is deceitful above all else. We think we know what's best, but we really don't. And this should be clear, like, just take a look at some of the leading businessmen, CEOs, rich people, like in the world even, not even just America. And you see the depression rates, the struggles that they go through, the suicide rates. It's so sad. And I know for me, I think, man, if I had money, life would be good. But clearly, if you look at other people around, you know that that is not the case. God promises goodness in our lives. And that is so much better than anything that we can dream up of what good is. And I'm so thankful for that, right? If I had it my way, I would have an ice cream sundae like drop in my lap every breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It would just be there just the way I want it. Wouldn't that be good? Is that not good? If that were true, I don't even know what my life would be right now. Like, if I could just imagine eating that many ice creams in the last, I don't know how many years, would I even still be alive? Like, would I be standing? I don't know. Like, I would not be feeling that that was a good choice. But I sure would anytime I want an ice cream, right? Like, we just have these thoughts and we think about what good is. And it just switches from day to day, right? We have different dreams that we had now than 10 years ago. And this is why I am so thankful that God knows what's best for my life, that I don't have to be in charge of thinking and knowing what's best in my life. I surrender that to God and know that He knows best. Right? Do you know what God's word says about what is good? If not, I would encourage you guys to write that down somewhere. Go study that. Do a quiet time on it. Ask a friend. Like, learn more about what God's word says about that. I love in Romans 8:28, he says this. This is Paul speaking. He says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." This verse does not say that all things will be good. But even more incredible than that, it says that God can work for our good in all things. Like, isn't that beautiful? In all things, in the great things and in the hardships that you endure, that God can use that for good, regardless of how hard or how much you are struggling or suffering, that God can still use that. It's not for a loss. Right? If you are going through something hard in your life right now, whatever it might be, I want to encourage you to put your faith in the Good Shepherd. Like, trust in him. He really does care for you and love you and want what's best for you. Right? Hard things are hard to go through. I'm not saying they're not. Grief and pain and sorrow are legitimate emotions that we experience, that God designed for us to experience. They're a part of our emotions. But where things go wrong is when we dwell on them rather than dwelling on God and his grace and mercy in our lives. Right? Focus on Jesus instead of that. So bringing it back to our passage in John 10 that we're looking at tonight, another observation that we can make is that not only does Jesus know his sheep, but Jesus's sheep know him. That's the next point in your handout. Right? Do you know Jesus personally? I'm not asking if you believe in him, but do you know him well? Honestly. Right? Did anyone ever have, in like elementary school probably, a pen pal? Anyone? Yeah? Cool. I know I had one in like maybe second grade, and it was really fun, right? I got to write a little letter to, I just found out their name and just put it down and asked them questions and followed a prompt and then gave the letter to my teacher. And about 2 weeks later, I get a letter back, and it was like, I had the coolest friend ever. Like, it was a letter written just to Matt. Like, that's awesome. I had a friend. It was pretty special. And then, you know, I get the letter, I respond. 2 weeks later, they respond again. It was awesome. Have you made God your pen pal? Like, how often do we actually live that way? Like, it sounds funny at first, but really, like, do you only talk to God when you're about to take a test or when you're so bored that you have nothing else to do and you think, okay, yeah, I've been hanging out with this friend group and they always talk about reading the Bible, but it's just not for me. But okay, I guess I could try it today. Kind of ran out of all the movies I wanted to watch, or I'm done studying for now. Right? How often do we just treat God like that? But Jesus is clear in this passage that his sheep know him. And so what does it look like to know him? It means getting into the word, praying, spending time worshiping together with believers, even looking at scripture, meditating on it day and night, memorizing it, all these different ways. And so I want to encourage you, like, think about that. What does that look like for you to take the next step in your relationship with God and with knowing him more. Something I've been working on this semester, personally, has been praying Psalm 63:1. It's on your handout here. I've been really loving this verse this semester. I try to pray it before I pray or have a quiet time. I just quote this verse and I just dwell on it. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole body longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. I pray this psalm that David wrote because I want this to be true of my life. When times are good and when they're hard, I want to seek God the way David sought God, even when he was in the middle of the desert struggling. And this is what I want for all of you, too, to be able to experience and to really, truly seek God, to seek knowing him more. And more than that, more than what I want for your lives, Jesus wants that for your lives. He wants you to get to know him more than you do right now, whether you don't know him at all and that's your first step, or whether you've known him for years. Right, through knowing him, we can have the gift of eternal life as well. It's incredible. John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If you haven't accepted this gift yet and believed in Jesus, I want to encourage you to take that step tonight. Talk with someone, maybe a leader in Challenge that you know, and make that decision to start that process of getting to know Jesus, getting to know the Good Shepherd. Right, this is the God that loves you unconditionally and sacrificially. That's another clear observation we can make from this text. The last point on your handout is that Jesus sacrificially loves his sheep. Jesus sacrificially loves his sheep. Right, the Bible is clear that there is no greater love than the love that Jesus has for us. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right, like I mentioned at the beginning, Jesus knows your sin, your struggle, everything that you're going through. And he still demonstrated his love by dying for you. Right, he's not the same as a caring friend or a loving parent or a great shepherd. Right, he is the good shepherd. But here's the deal, right? He is not a God of passivity. The Bible doesn't share these amazing feel-good truths, right? These awesome things that we can dwell on and then encourage you to sit in a hammock for the next year of your life and just smile about them, right? They do deserve our utmost admiration of knowing God and who he is. It is incredible. But the Bible also calls us to action, right? To live our lives as a sacrifice to God. Romans 12:1 speaks on that if you're curious. And we can do this because of the love and sacrifice that he has shown to us. Remember, he is the good shepherd, and he has already paved the way in what sacrificial love looks like. So let's look at this last verse on your handout. 1 John 3:16 through 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So what do we see here, right? So we can love Jesus by taking action. So what do you need to take action on tonight? From this passage, we saw that Jesus' sheep know him and that he leads us as the perfect example of sacrificial love. So what about you? Do you need to take steps in your relationship with him tonight, whether it's making the decision to follow him for the first time or choosing to recenter your life on Jesus by putting him first in areas that you haven't yet? Maybe it's your time, your schedule, your finances, your friend groups, whatever it might be. I want to encourage you to really think about that and talk with someone about that. Like, have this be an open conversation to continually growing and taking next steps with him. Right? Maybe it's setting aside time to walk every day with the only goal of praying or listening to worship music, right? Spend time daily to do a quiet time and just, or maybe it's not even just do a quiet time. If you're already doing a quiet time and reading his word, maybe it's after finishing that, go down another time in the day and just read the word. Like, sometimes I get so focused on, oh, I just need to read a chapter today because I know it's good to read the Bible. And yes, that is good. I do encourage you to do that. But it's been so great. The times that I haven't had an agenda, that I've just decided to read God's word just to get to know Jesus better. And so I want to encourage you to think of it. When was the last time you've read the Bible with no agenda, no time, no time crunches, no just one chapter or just one verse? Like, when was the last time you just read it just to get to know him better? All right, so maybe that's an application you can think about making. Or maybe it's growing, like this last passage talked about, and loving others better this week. Right? Have you been selfishly holding on to your time or resources or even encouragements? Right? Maybe thinking something good about someone, like you could make someone's day. You could honor and encourage someone, which the Bible encourages us to do. So I want to encourage you, friends, like we have a relationship, that we get the opportunity to have a relationship with the Good Shepherd, that we get to see his example and continue to grow as followers of Christ. So guys, I want to encourage you, like, take some time tonight after this message when you go home. Think about what applications you can make, how you can love God more. Let's close in prayer. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to come to earth, to live a perfect life, and to die on the cross for our sins, God, so that we might have a relationship with you, so that we might know you personally and get to have eternal life. God, we are so grateful. We love you and we thank you for sending your word, God, that you have not left us here alone, that, God, you love us as shepherds, as the good shepherd loves his sheep, that you have a plan for us and that you want us to follow you because you know what's best for us. So thank you for sending your word. So thank you for sending your son. Thank you that we get to live in community with one another and not just do this alone. I just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.